Life is short, so dig in deep and be swayed by Leah Love's erotic rhetoric.
Erotic Rhetoric with your host, Leah Love, on Jackalope Radio.
So I am here for you. Life is short, dig in deep and be swayed by Leah Love's erotic rhetoric. Greetings, my cats and kittens. It's Leah Love here for you tonight, again, on Erotic Rhetoric. And the first thing I want to say tonight is I am really full. I went out for my birthday dinner with my partner, and we went to a Japanese hibachi steakhouse. And I had a plate of food that was really a sinful amount of food. And we ate every little bit of it because you can't waste that. It was delicious. So I don't know if that's going to slow me down tonight because I don't like to eat before I play volleyball, have sex, or do my radio show. Those are my rules. And I ate before. I was a very bad girl. Smack, smack. But anyway, I'm still celebrating a very busy masturbation month of March, which is also my birthday month. Oh, yeah. So it's been a very fun month. I've had a lot of celebrations and family, friends. I had great Fantasia parties this month. It has been a rocking month so far. Volleyball started up again. I play volleyball weekly, try to get my joints lubed up and, you know, haha, lubed up. So it's been really fun. And I hope that you're still celebrating Masturbation March, because we have another masturbation month coming up, which would be May. So you got to get it in, ladies and gents, everybody. Todd, are you celebrating Masturbation March with me?
Kind of not.
All right. Well, we'll get to that a little bit later because, you know, I'm an advocate of masturbation for everybody. It makes everybody very happy. So, you know, I always like at the top of the show to give you my email address and let you know that you can write me. And I've got a real treat for you tonight because I have more listener emails. So here's my email address. It's Leah, L-E-A-H, .love.lust@gmail.com. And I have to tell you something. I didn't think maybe I'd get some feedback, but I think I have some customers listening and some friends, and I'm very, very thankful. So hopefully I'm making a good change in the world. So tonight, my Taking It to the Streets section is going to be about Fantasia, in that this month I booked a party with a childhood friend, and it made me think about how lucky I am in my business and in doing what I do to have the support of my friends and my family. So this childhood friend is actually the girlfriend of my very favorite neighbors who I grew up next door to. I'm not going to name any names here, by the way, but I grew up next to a family of 7 children, 5 boys, 2 girls. The older girl was our babysitter, who I absolutely love, and I'm hoping that she's going to come to this party. And there were 5 brothers, and I have to tell you, all gorgeous. I mean, I think half Italian, half Irish. Happy St. Patty's Day to everybody, by the way. Italian father, Irish mother, gorgeous men in this family. The youngest one was my childhood crush. I think I had a crush on each one of them individually growing up. And now one of their wives I linked up with on Facebook, on my Leah Love site on Facebook, which you can reach by looking up leah.love.lust@gmail.com. You can find my Facebook page. And we linked up on there, and we've been having great conversations. And she brought up she wanted to have a Fantasia party, and we booked it. And I can't even tell you how excited I am. Here's the thing. My strength in this business is making people feel comfortable. That is always a compliment that I get, because people will have this party, they think it's going to be one way and it's totally another with me. I use all anatomically correct terms. I don't curse. I mean, I might curse as the night goes on and have a little bit of fun, but I don't use slang terms for body parts. I'm not crass. I might be funny, but I'm very knowledgeable. And always people say, you know, I thought I was going to come here and be embarrassed. You opened up a whole new world for me. You made me feel so comfortable. And that's what I always tell people, because they're like, oh, you know, I have a few friends, but I don't know if I want to invite them because they might not be comfy. And I'm like, listen, invite everybody regardless of what you think they're into or what they're not into, because you never know with people. Always tell them that I'm very respectful and funny and classy. It's always funny to hear me describe myself as classy, because, you know, maybe I'm not in real life, but in that part of the business, I totally am. So I always want to thank my friends and my family for their support. So this young lady who's having this party for me, she's been with my former neighbor, I think it's got to be probably 25 years. What am I? Probably close to 30. They have to be dating, at least. They were dating in high school. I always looked up to them. She was always so pretty, still is pretty. They both look fantastic. And we're going to have a great time. So, and her sister-in-law, who was my sister's best friend growing up, is going to come. We're going to have a great time there. All around, very good, very fun, supportive people. And I'm very, very lucky, I have to say. So, again, you can always write me if you have any questions about Fantasia or Fantasia home parties, any comments, anything like that. So, thank you to all of my customers and friends and family. So, I have a little bit of an info dump for everybody today. Adrian Sterling, as you know or may not know, is my in-house producer. And the way that I define him is he sends me links during the week, sex in the news links, bits of information, I don't know, Urban Dictionary, you know, words that come up, whatever. He'll send me all of these fun things. And this week, he sent me something about the play, Shakespeare's play, Much Ado About Nothing. And he just sent this kind of random paragraph. And I was like, what are you talking about? First of all, I read Shakespeare. I was an English major in college. And that was very unproductive of me, because basically majoring in English, if you don't have a focus, means you basically majored in how to make as little money as possible as you grow up. I did get into publishing, but publishing is not a lot of money unless you kind of move up the ranks and become, like, you know, managing editor of a big publishing house, which I didn't do. But although I read a lot of Shakespeare and I took, you know, like, proper English classes in college, which were really hard to understand, I did read the play Much Ado About Nothing, but I so loved the movie version better, which was Emma Thompson and Kenneth Branagh directed. So much fun, this movie. The music was beautiful and perfect. It had an interesting cast. Anyway, fun movie. So Adrian sends to me this Wikipedia excerpt about the title Much Ado About Nothing, which basically amounts to Much Ado About Vagina. Did anybody know this? I didn't know this. I'm Leah Love. I should know that this title means Much Ado About Vagina. So hear me out. This is the Wikipedia excerpt. So, quote, taken literally, the title implies that a great fuss, much ado, is made of something which is significant, which is insignificant, nothing, such as the unfounded claims of heroes and fidelity. The title could also be understood as Much Ado About Noting. Much of the action is an interest in and critique of others, written messages, spying, and eavesdropping. This is mentioned several times, particularly concerning seeming, fashion, and outward impressions. Noting is a double entendre, N-O-thing, or N-other-thing, or no-thing, was Elizabethan slang for vagina, evidently derived from the pun of a woman having nothing between her legs. Much Ado About Nothing. Nothing meaning no penis. So that's what the play is about. Much Ado About Hero's Vagina, or the maid's vagina, or whose ever vagina. Hilarious. Whole new spin. Now I have to watch that movie, read the play again, and see if I can find any other kind of, you know, parallel things like that, because I thought that was really fun. So there you go. Shakespeare's play, Much Ado About Nothing, is actually Much Ado About Vagina. Just a little tip from Leah Love tonight. So before I get to my listener email of the week, or I have actually three of them, I am going to do a list of the week. But this list of the week is a little bit different, because it's actually going to be the top 10 sex lists courtesy of Men's Health Online. So my list is actually the top 10 sex lists that I found that they offer and have their writers write about, and a little bit about what's in their lists. But the titles caught my eye, the numbers, why they chose, you know, say 14 instead of 10. I try to keep my lists at 10 just to have some consistency. There's no real rhyme or reason. So here's my list of the week before we get to my listener email. And by the way, I always talk about good places to get information about sex. And Men's Health Online is definitely another place. They're very frank. I really feel that they present the truth. Unlike, what's that? Cosmopolitan does not present the truth to women. Men's Health and AskMen.com are two websites that women need to switch to immediately instead of reading Cosmo magazine. You want the truth about what men are thinking? You got to go to these websites. Do not listen to the stupid editors over at Cosmo and them telling you what they want you to think men are thinking. I can't even stress it enough. So Men's Health Online, here is my top 10 sex lists that they have listed. So number 10, 14 things to remember before you cheat. Now, first of all, there's got to be more than 14, all right? But for whatever reason, 14 is their main important number here. But what's interesting about this is that it's actually 14 things to remember before you cheat to kind of discourage you from cheating, but in a wink-wink way. So I'll give you an example of what they're talking about here. So like number 14 is, or actually I didn't like number 14. I'm going to go to number 13. If your ex calls, enjoy a pleasant 5-minute conversation, then tell her your wife's on the other line. So 14 things to remember before you cheat is that you're thinking about cheating when your ex calls. It's okay to have that 5-minute conversation, but you know what? Get off. So they're basically trying to discourage you. Your ex is that temptation. I think that's what they're saying. But like number 11, at the office party, pretend the coworker who's flirting with you has gonorrhea. Again, resist the temptation. That actually could happen, by the way, so you have to be careful. So they're just offering you all of these things to remember before you actually cheat. You can be tempted, all of these things, but before you cheat, there are some things to remember, you know, to yourself. For example, to paraphrase Neil Simon, this is number 6. Do to yourself what you would otherwise do unto others. So, therefore, discouraging you from cheating. And also, treat yourself how you would want others to treat you. But the number one thing is that, well, actually, I'm going to give you number 2. Because number 2 is, someone will always find out. And then number 1 is, if presented with a scenario which is ideal, no one must ever find out. Because here's the thing. I think people want to tell people. They want to tell their best friend. They want to, I don't know, write it in a blog, quote-unquote, anonymously. Got to think about these things before you cheat. So that's the number 10 list from Men's Health. And I recommend that if you ever thought about cheating, you definitely need to check out this list. 14 things to remember before you cheat. And don't cheat, okay? So the number 9 list from Men's Health Online, sex list, 6 phrases to get her in bed tonight. To get her in bed tonight. You want me to give you one? I'm going to give you one. This is their number one. No. What is it? Number 6 one is good. I'm taking the day off tomorrow to chaperone my niece's field trip. Will this work as a seduction tactic? I thought about it. I don't think it would work on me, but it might work on some women. And then the number one is, I screwed up and I want to hear your thoughts. Honestly, that should be all of them. 6 phrases to get her into bed tonight. Always admit when you're wrong. Or if you're not, admit it anyway. Tell her you screwed up. You'll be in bed in 30 seconds. That's Leah Love's advice. So 6 phrases to get her into bed tonight is my number 9 list from Men's Health tonight. Number 8, 25 fun things to do with a woman. I have to tell you, I like this list. I like the 25 fun things, and the reason that I like them is because they're practical, but they're kind of, they run the gamut. I mean, obviously, they have get naked on there, bring her to a ball game, things like that. But they have some kind of, I don't know, like off-the-cuff type of things. Crash a luxury resort pool. Go to Barbados. Challenge her to play strip PlayStation for all you video game aficionados. Other fun things. Play in the sand. Dance. Run a marathon together. Take a home pregnancy test. I don't know what that one's about. get naked, take her shopping, climb a volcano. Some of these may be a little bit off the mark, but at least they're offering some interesting things to do with your chick. I think that's fun. Number 7, 7 signs she'll be good in bed. Now, I think I need to have some kind of a poll, because there is a couple things in here that I think are, I don't know, weird. I don't know what age group they're talking about here. Here are their 7 signs that she'll be good in bed. So you meet a girl and you go out on a couple of dates and you want to know before you jump into bed if she's good. Does it really matter, honestly? I think you're going to jump in anyway if she's in the least bit hot. But here are their suggestions. She suggests Thai food for dinner. What? She eats it up? Okay, that I'll grant. How does your woman eat? Does she eat well? Does she eat healthy? Is she sensuous? Is she enjoying her food? Food and sex are so closely related. She screams for ice cream. That's another sign she'll be good in bed. Leah screams for ice cream all the time. She talks like you, meaning that she has similar jargon, or she might curse a little bit or whatever. She knows who Sid Vicious is. See, now, this means a woman's good in bed? I don't know. If you agree with this list, great. I don't know if somebody knows who Sid Vicious is an indicator of how good in bed they'll be. She gives good lip, and she's a good dancer. So, obviously, the dancing thing. Because we look at men, too. We look at men, and we determine if he's good in bed. I think that's why Dancing with the Stars is so popular now. Because, you know, you see all these kind of, like, pseudo-celebrities. The dancers are very sexy. I do not watch the show. I do watch my fair share of reality trash television. Dancing with the Stars is not one of them. Although, I did watch the season that Chaz Bono was on, it just to support him. So, but those 7 things, dancing, right up there. Number 6, 10 ways to jumpstart your sex life. Now, if you are consulting a list for 10 ways to jumpstart your sex life, then you probably really do need the list. Because I think a normal person should be able to sit down and go, what can I do? What can I do to make my sex life better? Whether it's with yourself or your partners. However, their suggestions are pretty practical. It says, don't start in the bedroom. This is what I tell everybody who tells me when they live with somebody, they're married, what can they do to jumpstart their sex life? Doesn't have to be in the bedroom. Doesn't have to be in your apartment if you live with your partner. Take it out of the bedroom. Take it even out of your house. But they also offer the following. Go canoeing or hiking. You want to have sex in the woods, I guess. Explore new regions. Body regions. The world? I don't know. Have her ditch her panties during dinner. How about you ditch your panties, dude? That's what I say. Talk dirty in public? Honestly, I think that's a really good one. Sit at a restaurant or a bar and kind of whisper dirty things back and forth to each other. You can't really act on it, but it gets real hot. Use a chin rest. All right, I've got to delve farther into this one because I'm assuming they mean during oral. Oh, it is during oral sex. I thought so. Put one pillow under her hips and another under your chest. It's easier for her to adjust her knees and legs. Rest your chin on your fist and use a finger to put pressure on the bottom of her vagina to heighten the sensation. Heartily agree. Mix it up a little in the bedroom, but also be comfortable. There's no reason to be uncomfortable in bed. So that's just a few of the top 10 ways to jumpstart your sex life as recommended by Men's Health. Number 5, 10 ways to get more sex. You know what I hope's on there is take a shower, because that is such a huge thing to have more sex. Let's see what they say. Excite her entire body. Be gentle. Speak softly. Get rough. What is that? All contradictory right there. Be her alarm clock. Wake me up at 5 a.m. by heading down under. To her, by the way. By heading down under on her. Okay, so she's saying wake me up at 5 a.m. by heading down under. That's actually not such a bad way. Just make sure she took a shower before she went to bed. That's all I'm saying. So 10 ways to get more sex. Number 1 is play the name game. Say my name often. It makes me feel as though you're totally focused on me. Okay, I'm going to have to call BS a little bit. I should have looked at this list beforehand, because now every single one of these quotes under, say, number 1, It has, says what the way is to get more sex, and then they have a quote. I call BS on when they give quotes. How are they polling these women? Same way Cosmo pulls the men? I think the editors write these things. So I'm going to call a little BS on that one, so maybe that shouldn't even be on the list. However, number four, 8 monumental sex experiences to have, is kind of just a smaller version of the sexual bucket list that I tested Todd with, I guess it was a month ago or so. So I could see that being pretty pretty monumental, and maybe a slimmed down version, so you don't have to, let's see, let's find it here. You don't have to have 50 or 80 different things on your bucket list. But here's some eight things from Men's Health that you should do, okay, sexually. Wedding night sex. They're encouraging you to get married, I guess. Honey, I'm home sex. That is a good one. Right as soon as one of both of you get home from work, boom, right into bed. Makeup sex, of course. Breakup sex, that's always a good one. That actually I find is hotter than makeup sex. You break up with somebody, you know the sex is good, you're not in love anymore, something happened, and you have that one last bang in the sack. That's really cool. Birthday sex, I don't know, a little boring. First time with her sex, I don't know what that means. Vacation sex, that seems pretty, you know, whatever. And then let's have a baby sex. Jeez, Men's Health, what is the age group of these men? I don't know. But that was 8 monumental sex experiences to have. Number 3, 5 ways to be the man of her dreams. Oh, that's so sweet. What are the 5 ways, I'd like to know? Oh, actually, my number 1 is also a number 5. See, now I'm just confusing you. I know, I'm sorry. But I was having a lot of fun with this. 5 ways to be the man of her dreams. Oh, here we go. Sharp wit. Be a Lothario. Be the quiet genius. Be her superhero. And be her blue chip prospect. So 5 ways to be the man of her dreams. You think you can fit one of these bills? Okay, check out Men's Health and I think you'll be able to do it. I don't know here. 5 ways to be the man of her dreams. I have to tell you something. Be yourself should be number 1. All right, so on to number 2 and number 1. Number 2, as a homage to spring, which is actually, I think, tomorrow, or not tomorrow when you're listening to this, but this week, shall we say, 7 steps to a summer fling. I got to tell you something. I had a summer fling. You know how old I was? 13 years old. So I never had a fling as an adult. I was always in a relationship or I was totally single. So having a summer fling, you can do in the following 7 ways. Oh, okay. It's all about preparation here. Set your stage. Oh, here you go. You want to try to present yourself as being nice, but not as looking for a serious relationship. And the way that they look at this is you want to flatter her figure. You don't want to say nice things about her personality, I guess. You want to wait your turn. That's interesting because then that means that you're kind of lining up to date somebody who's perhaps dating a lot of people, so therefore you don't have to get serious. Always meet her needs. Go au naturel. Let's look at this. What does that mean exactly? Go au naturel. Oh, I got it. If it looks like you showered and gelled your hair to go to the beach, it comes across as desperate. So yeah, you want to look a little bit surfer dude, I would say. You also want to set your stage, right? You don't want to strut around like a peacock. But on the beach, use a solid colored blanket because they're saying women subconsciously associate stripes and patterns with children. And a solid color, they won't associate that with children. They'll associate that with getting down with you in the sand. So there you go. Just a few out of the 7 steps to have a summer fling. And the number one list of my list of the week is 5 woman-approved secrets about her breasts. Personally, I just think that's really funny. 5 woman-approved secrets about her breasts. So they are the following. Let's see. Oh, I have to move forward one here. Women don't think we're total pigs about this. So Men's Health is saying that we, women, don't think you guys are crazy that your breasts obsessed. And I'm going to have to agree with that because I love my own breasts. So I could totally see why men love breasts. I hold them all the time. I jiggle them. I'm constantly flashing people. I know that sounds hard to believe. Many women, this is number 4 on their list, many women love their breasts more than you do. There you have it, what I just said, approved by Leah Love. I love my own breasts, and so do most women. Their number 3, woman-approved secrets about breasts. Women can be deeply conflicted about their breasts, which is also true. They're too big or they're too small. You don't develop fast enough. They're uneven. Your nipples are too big or too small. Your nipples are always hard. Whatever it is, the more you love a woman's breasts, the more she'll love you. I guarantee it. So the number 2 woman-approved fact about our own breasts. In bed, you know nothing about our breasts. That's an interesting concept, because that's one complaint that I always have about every male partner, is that from the get-go, sometimes they're not great with the breast stimulation in the beginning. Either they're turning channels, like they're pinching nipples and twisting and doing this and that. Yes, you can do that, but do that a little bit later when you're trying to hide an orgasm. But in the beginning, be kind of soft and gentle and licky and touchy. Don't be bitey and whatever. So let us lead you. I think that's the point here. And then their last thing, their last woman-approved secret about breasts is breasts can intensify a couple's emotional bond. So there's lots of ways that breasts can offer comfort, of course, in a male-female relationship. They're very intimate. You can lay on them like a pillow. You can, hug a woman with, just hug her, your face to her breasts, and be sensual about it, not just silly. Of course, you can motorboat it if you want. But if a woman complains, say, about her breast being sore, you can offer to massage them in a non-sexual way, if you can, that is. Breast massages are incredible. It makes you appreciate them. So I definitely am down with that last woman-approved secret about breasts. So that is my list of the week, is the top 10 lists, sex lists from Men's Health. And you could always check out Men's Health at menshealth.com. Good information about men, for the most part. I think a lot more honest than all the women's sites and things like that. So I definitely think it's worth checking it out. So there you go. And my listener email this week, so much fun, and I think they're all women this week. Tara, Liz, and signed help, and says my husband. I'm going to assume she's a woman. Okay, so we're going to get to my listener email. Todd, are you around for this one?
I'm right here.
There he is. So let's see if Todd will maybe put some input into these letters this week. Okay, so listener email for Leah Love's Erotic Rhetoric Show. Letter number 1 for tonight is, Dear Leah Love, I love your radio show. Yay, thank you. And I'm glad that I found it, because it gives me a smile when I give it a listen in my car. Huh. I don't know how they're listening it to in their car, but that's cool. I love sex with my boyfriend and really enjoy... And really enjoy when he completes his mission internally of me. How's that? Thing is that I went on the pill and now he's more interested, but I'm more happy eating Ben and Jerry's and watching Law and Order SVU. Is the pill making me less sexual, or do you think I'm just not interested in him in that way anymore? Oh, goodness. Okay, well, you don't mention your... Oh, and this is from Tara in Staten Island. You don't mention your age, and you, but you say boyfriend. So I'm going to assume between... I'm just going to say 22 and 37. Well, first of all, the pill is adding hormones and, regulating your period. I think in some cases it also, makes you put on a couple of pounds. So I would need to know a little more information about this. But I will tell you this. Don't get wrapped up in the fact that you think you're not interested in him in that way anymore. People of all shapes, sizes, colors, creeds, sexual orientations go through phases sexually. Just because you don't want to have sex with your partner 5 times a week, like you did in the beginning anymore, doesn't mean that you're not interested in your partner. Sex changes throughout your entire life. Your need for it changes. Any relationship that you have, it could be different. Just because it's one way with one person doesn't mean it's going to be that way with the next person or the next person after that. In terms of Okay, so if you're on the pill and he's completing the mission inside of you, and it says that you love it with him, so I wonder maybe there's just something about that. Maybe because you're on the pill, like I would think you'd be a little less, you know, anxious about possibly getting pregnant. But it seems to me that you're saying that you're less interested in sex. However, okay, Ben and Jerry's. Maybe you're eating a little too much ice cream. So maybe you did put on a few pounds. And, you know, as a plus-size woman, I try to have patience and acceptance of thin women who feel fat when they put on 5 pounds, because I just think that's ridiculous. I think that, you know, people are beautiful no matter what size that they are. But maybe if you're used to a smaller frame and you're eating more ice cream and just lying around watching TV, maybe you need to get up and start exercising, play volleyball perhaps, and just kind of get a little more action and kind of get into a little bit more of a routine. Because if you're just laying around, I can't imagine that that's making you feel sexy. So maybe it's really you. Maybe you're not interested in yourself sexually anymore, so therefore you can't imagine that he would be. But I think that you should definitely check that out. Stop with the Ben and Jerry's if it's every night. Law and Order is on what? Wednesdays? Okay. So maybe just on Wednesdays, don't eat Ben and Jerry. And instead of eating Ben and Jerry and watching Law and Order SVU, why don't you go down on your man? That's what I suggest. So Tara in Staten Island, if I answered your question, great. If I didn't, you can do a follow-up. Let me know. But I definitely suggest that you start, you know, taking a walk around the block rather than just lying around eating ice cream. So listener letter number 2. And this one says, Dear Leah, my husband and I have a nice sex life. We make love regularly, but I want him to spice things up. So I went out and bought a dildo and a vibrator, asking him to use them on me during sex, but he got all uptight. These toys don't make me love him any less. I can't kiss a toy or tell him my secrets or tell it my secrets. It's just a toy and not a replacement for him. The vibrator is for me, but he won't have it. What can I do? Liz in Milburn, New Jersey. Well, Liz, you make love regularly, but you want to spice things up. This is always a good thing. Someone always should initiate that. It's cool that you went out and bought some sex toys. I don't know why you didn't buy them for me. but perhaps the way that you introduced them into the relationship was why he got all uptight. I would say a conversation when you're not in bed naked getting ready to have sex would be the way to go. Obviously, I do not encourage that you use toys to replace your relationship. And you say, obviously, you can't kiss a toy or tell him your secrets. And yes, I tell this to women all the time. You don't have to worry. Toys are not going to make you love your partner any less. It's not going to make you less satisfied by a human. It's not a replacement for your relationship. But what's wrong with getting satisfied quicker and your partner maybe having to work a little bit less? This way you guys can just relax and have your orgasm and not have that be the focus. If you have something that can kind of help you, you know, maybe that's the way to present it. Rather than being horizontal and then kind of reaching over and pulling them out of a package and saying, hey, let's do this, have a conversation in the living room when you're fully clothed and say, listen, I just wanted to mix things up. This is not a replacement for you. This is not because you don't satisfy me. This is because I love you and I just want our sex life to be a little bit more spicy. And, you know, this is something that I really want to try. So why don't you take the following and use it on me? And use a product like a bullet or something that's not phallic shaped or something that doesn't, you know, hop around like, you know, or sound like a lawnmower or something like that. Something really small and discreet, and have your partner use it on you first. That's always a really good way, is to put it in their hands, put them in control. So I would can all of the phallic, you know, vibrators and dildos that you have, put those away, get smaller things, have a conversation before you're actually in the bedroom, ask him what your partner's comfortable with. But here's what I'm going to tell you. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. Heterosexual men are, at different periods of their life, in my experience and through my job and knowing all types of men through this job of selling sex toys, different age groups have, you know, different issues with the sex toy thing, different cultures. But some men, you're just not going to make comfortable with sex toys, and unfortunately, that's just the way that it is. I always tell people, not everything is for everybody, and I don't encourage everybody to feel that they have to do everything that there is under the sun about sex. It's always about communication. It's about some things are good for some people and not good for others. So have a conversation, you know, tone down the types of toys and present them as if I'm just trying to spice it up. I will never not love you. I will never not be turned on by you. See how that works. Todd, have you ever been in a relationship where sex toys were a part of what you do?
I guess, I don't know, maybe a couple times, I don't know.
And how did they come into the relationship? Did you bring them in? Did your partner, were you both like, hey, let's mix it up a little bit? How did it happen?
I don't know. I'm still not sure.
Is that too personal of a question? I'm sorry.
It's frightening.
Why is it frightening?
Oh, Lord.
This is wonderful and natural, and we're only here on this planet for a short time. Why not enjoy every little bit of it? But what do you say to this? Okay.
A Jedi craves not these things.
Well, thank you, Yoda. You say a Jedi does not crave these things?
That's
Yoda?
Right.
That
Jedi craves not these things.
See, that's interesting that you say that, because I would think the exact opposite. Not necessarily craves, but that a Jedi would be open to as much pleasure as there is in the world.
Oh, no, it's the opposite.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
How is it the opposite?
Because Jedis are not allowed to have relationships.
Oh, see, should I have known this? I'm married to a nerd. Should I have known this?
You should have. They're not allowed to love, to be in a marriage or any kind of thing like that. They're kind of like celibate nuns in a way. They're like monks. So they have friendships and they have missions, but they don't really have relationships, so to speak. That's what caused Anakin to go to the dark side.
Oh, yeah. See, I didn't know that. Okay, so what about masturbation then? Is this talked about in the Jedi world?
I don't think so.
So celibate meaning not even self, you know, self-flagellating.
I think
self-flagellating.
I think Yoda said it. I think Yoda said that masturbation is the path to the dark side. I think that was a direct Yoda quote.
Which film was that from? That sounds like six.
It could have been.
Oh, that's good. All right. Oh, poor Todd. I didn't mean to torture you with that question. That was a good answer, though. All right, let's see. All right, let's see if we have... Oh, okay, this is a good one. All right, Todd, I'm going to need your input on this one.
Uh-oh.
No, this is good. Dear Leah Love, my husband's been on the internet, and when I walk into the room, he'll change windows and act like nothing was going on. Anyway, I nosed around and saw he was watching porn, mostly lesbian videos, some fetish on YouTube, but nothing really crazy. Does this mean he wants this stuff as a real-life fantasy? Does it mean he's cheating on me? Even if he isn't cheating on me, isn't watching these things on the internet kind of like cheating? Signed, help. This is a good one. Okay, I'm going to go backwards with the questions. Even if he isn't cheating on me, isn't watching these things on the internet like cheating? No! No, it's not. And I can't tell you enough that women, or men, whatever, whoever you're in a relationship with, just because your partner enjoys watching porn online, whatever, videos, doesn't mean they're cheating on you at all. You have nothing to worry about. It's fantasy. It's visual. It's stimulating. It could be masturbatory fodder. It is not cheating. The only thing I will tell you is that if that's all they spend their time doing, if that's the only thing that they're doing day in and day out, then that could be an addiction problem. But if it's just a regular part of his day, the way shaving is, he goes on, he watches a little porn, you know, and instead of snoop, first of all, I'm not down with snooping. I have been snooped on before and I have nothing to hide. And you can read a lot of things into what somebody has in their computer. That is never a good idea. So I don't care who you are, never snoop, because you're not going to like what you find. And just imagine if somebody snooped on you, how they could react to some of the things that they could find on your phone, something completely innocuous. Do you agree with that, Todd?
Well, I think if you're in a relationship and you feel like you have to check up on someone every 5 minutes, there's something wrong with it in the first place.
And I agree.
Secondly, you know, I'm not really in tune with this. I've had a similar issue where I've been on the internet and I'm just working, though. And when I work, I open and close windows very fast. Click, 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 click. You know, I'm doing my thing. And in the background, I always have, like, one of my nerd sites, because while I'm waiting for things to upload or whatever, I have my Batman on film or my superherohype.com, and I'm checking out my stuff. Yeah, or my Star Wars stuff, and I'm checking it out. But, like, I've been accused, well, why are you clicking out of those? I'm not clicking out of anything, first of all. I'm cranking through these websites because I'm in a hurry. I'm uploading and downloading content constantly. I'm working. Now, if it's someone who's, you know, doing something like that, I don't know. I can't really identify with that because I don't do it. So, right. But maybe, in his defense, maybe he's not looking at porn, but I guess she found it, so I can't really defend him. But what about people who aren't? People who are just, you know, doing their stuff. It's the internet, man. You got to get your stuff done. And looking at nerd stuff. And I always get, like, the looks over the shoulder. It annoys the hell out of me because I'm like, what do you think I'm doing on here? Because I'm the one nerd that is not going to do... I find the whole cyber sex thing freaky. It's like, I don't want any part of it. I'm not a part of the Matrix, okay? So it's just not my thing. But
well, what do you mean by cyber sex? Because that, to me, is a whole different thing. If you have a partner who, say, is in a chat room or however they do it now, and you're having a conversation with somebody, another person on the other end of the computer, and you're having cyber sex, that to me is totally different than just watching porn.
Well, I kind of lump them all in the same thing for me, because I'm a nerd and I don't do any of it. So that's kind of where I go.
Okay. All right. I gotcha. Well, just for your information, there's a big difference between just viewing porn videos, because porn is readily available on the internet. You can download big clips, small clips. There are dozens, 100 amateur sites, nowadays. There, you can go onto RedTube, you can go onto, what are some, I don't even know off the top of my head, RedTube's my favorite, but you can go and watch, you know, a lot of porn, little clips, and just get your rocks off, whatever, which is the exact opposite of being intimate with another person, having a conversation, or typing in an IM fashion, like having, say, phone sex, except that you're typing it, so therefore it's called cyber sex.
Right.
Totally different thing. I think that's disrespectful in a similar way to cheating. There's an emotional aspect to that too, because there's nothing physical going on, but you are creating intimacy with another person. To me, that is not a healthy thing for a relationship. I don't define that the same as cheating, where if you go to a hotel and you have sex with somebody else, obviously that is definitely cheating. But online, that could take the focus off of your relationship with your partner, so I think that that's definitely not a healthy way to be anyway, right? But here's the other thing that this letter asks. And by the way, she, or this could be a he, but I'm assuming she, says mostly lesbian videos, some fetish, but nothing crazy. It's interesting, this person knows what fetish is and says mostly lesbian videos and doesn't sound offended by any of that. Lesbian videos is such a common, or lesbianism is such a common kind of male turn-on. Maybe not everybody, but it's completely normal and natural to fantasize about two women, you know, especially two beautiful women kissing for men, as kind of masturbation fodder. She also says nothing really crazy. So instead of kind of snooping and worrying, why don't you, if you know, your partner is doing this and you kind of come up behind them, which I don't recommend sneaking up on anybody either, because you wouldn't want that done to you, right? But either talk to them about it when they're not in the computer and go, you know, what do you look at? Do you look at porn? What kind of porn do you like? Watch it with your partner. Make it an interactive thing. Because if they're just looking at it, maybe they've attached some shame to it and they don't want you to know because they're ashamed of it. But if you throw it out there and go, you know what? I might be interested in this. And it sounds like you signed this letter, help. It sounds like you could be into this. Like, it sounds like you're open-minded about it. But the other thing I want to address in this, and Todd, you can, as a nerd, you could say, I could parallel this with your nerd world stuff. Does this mean he wants this stuff as a real life fantasy? So just because you're viewing lesbian videos or fetish videos or whatever type of porn you're watching, doesn't necessarily mean that that's what you want to transfer that into your real life. And couldn't you parallel that, Todd, with, like, say, role playing, or liking certain movies, like sci-fi movies? Like, obviously, some people do watch sci-fi movies and then go off and do, like, you know, fantasy role play where they dress up like science fiction or Renaissance, whatever. But just because you want to watch something doesn't mean that that's what you want to do in real life. Would you agree with that?
I do.
There you go. So I would say the same thing with porn. just because somebody's looking at lesbian videos doesn't mean that they in real life need to have two lesbians in front of them kissing. So have a little bit of fun with it. Don't think of it as a threat or that he's cheating on you. The same way that I would encourage heterosexual men to not view sex toys as a threat or as if your partner is cheating on you with something. It's a big wide world. We've got a lot of time on this planet, and everybody deserves to have, you know, as much pleasure as they possibly can. And I'm Leah Love, so I advocate this, of course. So that's my response, and thank you, Todd, for helping out with that. And thank you, Yoda. Appreciate it. So I do have one more letter, and I just want to give this out as a shout-out to Lisa, my tarot reader, because I just got a quick email from somebody named Chrissy, and it says, Leah, when are you going to have that tarot reader back on? She was so much fun, and are you planning to have a call-in segment? So I appreciate that. I have a feeling I know who this is. But Lisa was fantastic, and she was my sexual tarot card reader, and we read Todd's cards, and we read our guest Rob from Movies Hate You. We read his cards, we read my cards, sexual tarot cards. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, that Rob from Movies Hate You is going to have Lisa on, and she's going to read tarot cards for films, which I think is going to be really fun. So I'm going to sit in on that show. I don't know when that's going to be. Possibly in the next couple of weeks. I'm not positive. And in terms of a call-in segment, and here's something that people might not understand about erotic rhetoric, which actually works for me, because I don't know if I could do live radio just yet. But we tape this during one part of the week, and it runs in another. So in terms of having a live call-in segment, obviously we can't do that, so I couldn't say into the radio, okay, call this number, call in now, but I could do pre-arranged call-ins. So maybe I'll try to do that. So Chrissy, if you're interested, I will email you back, and of course you can always email me again at leah.love.lust@gmail.com, and you can tell me if you would be willing to do this, and we will set up to call you when you're around. And we can do a sexual tarot for you. And we could do that for other listeners as well. So I'll keep you posted on that as we move along. It looks like I'm going to be out of time for Sex in the News again. I'm definitely going to have to make next week just all Sex in the News. And you know what? I think I'm going to have Lisa, my sexual tarot card reader, come on and sit with me just for that episode. She can comment on some of the things we have in Sex in the News. So I'm going to close out the show tonight with more books on Leah Love's bookshelf. Man, I wish I had like 1,000 books about sex, because I would love to do this every single episode. I forgot how many good books that I have on my bookshelf, and I keep them in my bedroom, but in case I have, you know, company, I don't want people, or, you know, if I have children in the house or, you know, guests who don't know me that well, and people who know me, I'm very comfortable about sex, I'm very comfortable talking about it. I don't care if you're my mother or my childhood babysitter or my sister or friends near and far, anybody, anywhere can talk to me about sex and they know it. And I have some friends to this day who still call me when they have an issue, because they know that I won't be judgmental and that I'm very caring about, you know, all kinds of sexual issues. However, I leave the books in my bedroom bookshelf, you know, just to be safe, shall we say. So I have, I guess, maybe about 7 more books here, and that's the last of them, unfortunately. But again, I worked for a publisher, so I was able to get all of these books. Todd, how much time do I have left?
You've got about 4 minutes.
Oh, 4 minutes. Okay. Well, maybe I'll be able to save a few of these for the next time. So one of the other books that's on Leah Love's bookshelf, and there's actually a series of these, and the only one that I have is Erotica 3, but it basically, there's a series of books of illustrated anthologies of sexual art and literature. And these books are wonderful, because what it helps you realize is that, obviously, sex has been going on way before we've been here, ladies and germs. I mean, we have turn-of-the-century artwork, oil paintings, you know, appreciation of body parts, sexual positions, you know, beauty in, you know, Victorian beauty of females and males, you know, appreciation of the male form, of the penises. So this is Erotica 3, and as I'm fanning through it, I mean, all cultures, beautiful, beautiful pictures in here, old photographs, you know, between 1870 and 1916, taken by Saki. I mean, very, very famous photographer of all things sex. So that's another book on my shelf, Erotica 3, an illustrated anthology of sexual art and literature. And here, because this is how I know so many things about sex, I peruse these books on a regular basis. I have the Lover's Guide Encyclopedia, the definitive guide to sex and you. And what I liked about this one is that this is a combination of real photographs of everything from health and hygiene to sexual positions to porn from the turn of the century to artwork, all laid out in chapters by theme, like sexual feelings male, sexual feelings female, sexual orientations, homosexuality in society, sexual learning, and it breaks everything down. It's not all what I would say titillating. It's very factual, but there are some titillating photos in there in terms of, you know, how to say attach yourself in certain sexual positions to your partner. There's a lot of stuff in here, and I really enjoyed this book, and I read this cover to cover. And it's edited by Doreen Massey, and it was put out by, I think this is a Thunder's Mouth Press book, and I used to work for them, so there they get a little bit of promotion. So this is called The Lover's Guide Encyclopedia, The Definitive Guide to Sex and You. Very helpful for things that you might want to know more about, and things you might be afraid to ask even Leah Love, but I hope not. I hope that you wouldn't be afraid to ask me. Here's another book. This is the consultant on this book is Dr. Glenn Wilson, and it's called Creative Love Play, Sensual Ways to Explore Your Erotic Fantasies. So this is a picture book, and obviously this is very sensual, very graphic, but what it also is, real couples are the examples used in this book, and the Sinclair Institute is in, I think, Illinois, and they put out a series of videos where they use real couples to help other couples learn how to have better sex. And this is very similar to that. So all of the couples in this book, it's not just you know, people coming in modeling. These are real couples that signed releases and said, you know, listen, we're going to take some pictures, we're going to try to help other people and things like that. So they're sensual, they're graphic, and it's about being creative in your sex life. With one partner or with many. So definitely interesting book there. Once again, is a photography book, one of my favorites. And the name of this book is called Orgies. But what's interesting about this book is that, yes, it is a sexual photography book of various types of orgies going on. But there's also some art and paintings from turn of the century, from the Victorian era, from Renaissance, from all different cultures. So it's basically a history of art and, or I should say, orgies represented in art, including photography, up until the modern times. And some of these photographs are more beautiful than they are titillating, in terms of, you know, what's going on in the photos. So it's called Orgies, and the publisher is Ipso Facto. And the book is by Georges Marbeck, M-A-R-B-E-C-K. And I think that about wraps up the time that I have. I have a couple of extra books that I'll bring up the next time. And I think next week we're going to have another listener email. I know I have one left in my queue. And Sex in the News. I'm probably going to have a sit-in guest. But that's it for me tonight, my cats and kittens, my cat and kittens. I have to find another phrase because I always trip over cats and kittens. Damn it. Anyway, don't forget to send me your letters and comments, your loves and your lusts to leah.love.lust@gmail.com. I appreciate you listening. And I also want to thank, obviously, Adrian Sterling and my lovely producer, Todd Sheets, who I find really fun. Until next week, I wish you all a good night and good sex.